The Jacob's Pillow Dance Festival in Western Massachusetts is celebrating its 70th anniversary this summer. It's the longest-running dance festival in the country. Tonight, the festival honors modern dance pioneer Katherine Dunham, who celebrated her 93rd birthday over the weekend. Though it didn't start out as a showcase for black choreographers and dancers, Jacob's Pillow has built a long history of supporting them. Charlene Scott, a member station WFCR, reports.
Jacob's Pillow was founded by Ted Shawn in 1933. Shawn and his wife, Ruth St. Denis, were already leading Denishawn, a modern dance company in New York, where their students included Martha Graham, Charles Wideman, and Doris Humphrey. Katherine Dunham says Denishawn also attracted a young African-American woman named Edna Guy.
Edna Guy was qualified and had worked for years with their company and their school, but she was never allowed to appear professionally with their company. And it just, I think, was a thing that was unthought of by Denishawn. They just simply couldn't imagine that she'd even expect to, and that's what hurt her very much.
If blacks weren't initially welcomed by Ted Shawn, women fared no better in his next company, an all-male ensemble that he founded after buying a farm in the Berkshire Mountains of Western Massachusetts. Norton Owen is the director of preservation at Jacob's Pillow.
The women students stayed at a place called Greenwater Lodge, which was about 2 or 3 miles from here. They stayed there, but then they had their classes here at the Pillow during the day. There were separate curriculum going on, and while they overlapped in terms of the teachers, the classes were all separate.
Throughout the 1930s, Ted Shawn's dancers were all male and all white. But Norton Owen points to one early photograph.
With Ted Shawn's men dancers on the platform in the Tea Garden, which was a place where they oftentimes worked out, there is a black man amongst them. Now, I know that there was never a black member of Ted Shawn's men dancers, so this was presumably a student, but I don't have any documentation to say who this person was or what he was doing here or anything else.
Whether it was his own attitude, the attitudes of society at the time, or the fact that there were no qualified black males at nearby Springfield College, where he recruited most members of his company, Ted Shawn had established Jacob's Pillow on a farm with a history of support for blacks. Descendants of the original owners say one of the barns was a stop on the Underground Railroad. Today, the building contains the Pillow's gift shop. In all fairness, dance lagged behind other art forms when it came to integration. This was primarily because of white dance critics, says former dancer Joe Nash, now a dance historian and archivist.
African Americans were primarily seen as entertainers. They were not even conceived of as American dance. They were Negro dancers. See, there's a difference. Martha Graham was a modern dancer, but we were Negro dancers. So everybody picked up this just terminology, Negro dance.
In 1939, Ted Shawn's all-male company folded, but he stayed on to program the Jacob's Pillow Dance Festival. This seems to have given him the opportunity to include the performers who had not been part of his programs before. In 1942, when the Pillow's new theater opened, that first season included African dancer Asadata DeForo. 6 years later, Tally Beattie's company began what would be a series of performances at the Pillow. Despite a late start, Ted Shawn came to be respected by such important dancers and choreographers as the late Pearl Primus.
He's somebody I wanted to be near, somebody that I truly loved, someone that I could talk about anything. And he took the liberty of talking about anything. He loved to talk, and he loved to laugh, and he loved to scold, too.
In the early 1950s, Shawn decided to put an integrated company on stage for the first time at the Pillow. Carmen de Lavallade appeared with the Lester Horton dancers in 1953, and again with Alvin Ailey, who took over the company when Horton died. She remembers working with Horton in Los Angeles at the height of the congressional hearings probing alleged communists in Hollywood. She says she thinks the company went unnoticed because the politicians didn't take dancers seriously.
And there we were, 7566 Melrose Avenue. It was like the eye of the hurricane. We're there, everything's flying around, you know, and we're there just dancing away. And we were never bothered, that I know of. They don't think that we have anything to say, and that you do. So I figured maybe that's one of the reasons why you know, we carried on. And to have an interracial company at that time was really very unusual.
This summer, the lineup at the Pillow includes a half dozen African-American dance companies. Some, like Bill T. Jones and the Urban Bush Women, are well known to the public. Others are beginning to make their own contributions to 21st century modern dance. All owe a debt to such pioneers as Pearl Primus and Catherine Dunham. Despite being one of the first to weave African and Caribbean movement into modern dance, Dunham was only invited to Jacob's Pillow once. According to Pillow Records, Dunham's publicist turned down the offer because the company was busy elsewhere. Dunham says she doesn't remember ever being invited, but she says she's happy to be here. Next week, the 93-year-old choreographer will teach Dunham technique to a new generation of dancers.
It's still evolving. I never believe that a thing that is worthwhile is finished. It's always growing, always slightly changing, always adjusting. And that's happened with Dunham technique. I will never stop. With my last breath, I will be still developing something.
Catherine Dunham will be honored at a gala performance tonight at the Jacob's Pillow Dance Festival. Performances continue at the Pillow through August 25th. For NPR News, I'm Charlene Scott.